Well, what we have here, of course, on the screen, we have a football coach, and then we have a personal trainer on the top, and then somebody that's doing some computer coaching. So coaches and trainers of all sorts, and there are many others in our society, have something in common. That is that they work to help people get from where they are to where they want to be. They help shape them. They help mold them. They help coach them and encourage them along the way. Now, the Apostle Paul has been called many things. He is an apostle. He's the servant of Christ. But you almost could call him a coach. He was a spiritual coach. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, he talks about his coaching. He talks about his spiritual coaching. He talks about how God used him in his role to help others become like Christ. That's what he wanted people to do. That was the skill, so to speak, that he wanted to give them. He wanted them to become like Jesus Christ, and he was a coach along the way. Now, he had a unique role because he was an apostle. However, every Christian today has the same calling that Paul had, and that is to help other people develop into mature followers of Christ. And therefore, today we're going to look into God's Word, and we're going to learn about the hard work of making disciples. We're going to learn what Paul did to make disciples, and we're going to see how that applies to us. Now, I think we'll all admit that disciple making can be hard, but let me give you a definition. This is a working definition that we've been using really for a while around here at Harvest, especially months ago when I preached a series on this. But disciple making, before I read the scripture, is the process by which followers of Jesus obey his command to develop others into mature followers of Christ. And it goes from people who are lost to the point where they are baptized as an evidence of their salvation. So they go from being lost to being saved, and then they grow to become obedient disciples themselves. It is a process, and that's hard work. There is nothing easy about any side of this. People who aren't Christians becoming followers of Christ and helping those who are beginning to follow Christ to mature and grow to the point where they then are helping others do the same. Nothing easy about it. It's very hard work. And disciple making is one of the six pillars of this church. It's one of the six foundational values that define who we are as a church and who we want to be. And all these pillars work together for one vision, and that vision is to develop people into followers of Jesus Christ with a passion to worship God well and communicate his love for others. Now, as we look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29, let's see what we can learn about disciple making. He, speaking of Christ, and we'll come back to the context in a minute, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is God's word for us this morning. In the hard work of making disciples, Christ is everything. In the hard work of making disciples, Christ is everything. Jesus Christ is all over this. Here's the context. Here are the verses that lead in to verses 28 and 29. I'll read it beginning at verse 25 of chapter 1, Colossians. Speaking of the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then when we come, that leads right into verse 28, because he's talked about the mystery that he's been preaching, that it's Christ, and it's Christ in you. It's about Jesus Christ. And Christ is all over the next two verses, which is why I say that in the hard work of disciple making, Christ is everything. Notice how he is there three times in these two short verses. He is the one we proclaim. At the end of verse 28, what are we trying to do? We're trying to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And how do we do it? Well, we do it with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So this morning, I want us to take a few minutes to focus on how Christ is central to our disciple making. Sometimes we think about discipleship or disciple making as some kind of program, some kind of church activity or something, but it's not a program at all. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. And let's show you three ways this morning that Christ is central. First of all, our task in disciple making is to proclaim Christ. He says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. That word proclaim means to preach, to announce, to teach, or to advocate. And if you follow Paul, who wrote this, if you follow his travels through the book of Acts, you will see over and over again that Paul was very active in just telling people about Jesus. For instance, Acts 13:5, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And then in Acts 16:17, this one girl that was troubled followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Paul was not what we would call a silent witness. Paul didn't believe in just loving Jesus and being a Christian and not saying anything about it and hoping somehow by osmosis it would rub off on others. Paul believed in telling others about Christ, in proclaiming others about Christ. And this is what he proclaimed. Not a system, not a dogma, not ethics, not become a better person, not give up these things, not turn over a new leaf. He proclaimed Jesus Christ. And that is the same exact message that we have today, too. We proclaim Jesus Christ in this church. We proclaim the fact that all human beings are created by God and loved by God, and God has a plan and purpose for all of us. However, we as human beings fail. We sin. We fall short, and when we do, it creates a gap between us and God. It creates a chasm. And people try to fill that gap with so many different things, drugs, alcohol, successful career, money, maybe religion. And yet, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, we are separated from God. And God knew that, and God wasn't happy with that situation. And God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live, to be born, to live a perfect life, and then to die on the cross and to take care of our sins. In dying on the cross, Christ paid our sin penalty. And now he makes an offer that if you open your heart and life to him, if you profess him as the Lord of your life, which isn't just something you do with your words, but it's really truly giving your heart and life in surrender to him for a lifetime of following him, not perfection, but just believing in who he is, trusting in him by faith to take over your life, then you will be saved. We proclaim him. This is who Paul proclaimed. He is the one we proclaim. And the verse tells us how they did it. They did it by admonishing. This word means to teach, but it also means to warn and to instruct. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you or each of you night and day with tears. Paul knew that the gospel was an important message. And as an important message, he wanted to give an admonishment to them. You know, it's not very popular in our culture. We want everybody to like us and we want everything to be nice and easy. But when there's a situation, if people are going down the wrong path, we want to be able to say to them, look, here's the right path. Here's Christ. We admonish, and it includes instructing. It also includes teaching. They were admonishing and teaching. Romans 15:14, Paul said, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourself are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." Notice that this isn't just Paul alone. This disciple making, proclaiming Christ, is not just the job of the professional. It's not just the pastor or the missionary or the church staff member or the extremely mature person. You're competent to teach and instruct one another. He also said something like that in Colossians, later in Colossians in chapter 3. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." You expect the pastors to teach you, and that's what we're called to do. But it's awesome when brothers and sisters, maybe in a community group, maybe some kind of fellowship together, people hanging out, getting to know each other, and we're able to help instruct each other and encourage each other along. This is what God's plan is. Now, back to Colossians 1:28. This is what Paul does. He proclaims Christ. And this is how he does it. He does it by admonishing, and he does it by teaching. But why does he do it? What is he after? What is his ultimate goal? Well, that leads us into the next part of this passage. In our generation, Stephen Covey influenced a lot of people when he said, "Start with the end in mind." And Paul started with the end in mind. He had a goal all along. And his goal was to present disciples who are mature in Christ. Look at the second half of verse 28 there. "So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." We may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That word "present" there, we saw it in our studies last week and even in the sermon when Romans 12:1-2 said, "Offer or present your body as a living sacrifice." It means to bring into someone's presence, to offer something, to yield or to dedicate something. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. It's almost like a gift. It's like when you have a gift that you want to give someone, you buy it for them, you think about it, what would they like, what would they need, what do I want to give them? And you get it and you're thinking, I want to make it special for them, so I'm going to do whatever I can do to create that present, to buy that present, and to present that present to them. Now, who is Paul presenting here? Or I should say, to whom is he presenting? He doesn't say if he's presenting them on this life or he's presenting at the judgment seat of Christ at the end. But let me give you a couple parallel verses from 2 Corinthians that really help tip the scales towards one side. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." This is what Paul wanted to do with a group of believers in Corinth. He wanted to take them and work with them and present them to Christ. That makes me think that when Paul says in Colossians 1:28 that my goal is to present you to Christ, it's he knows he wants to give Christ something. Hey, let me ask you a question. We've just gone through Christmas. How many of you, whether it's Christmas or birthdays, there's at least one person on your list that you have a really, really hard time buying presents for because you have no idea what they want or need? Anybody like that? You have anybody like that in your life? Now think about Paul. Paul wants to give Jesus a gift, right? Paul wants to give something to God. Well, what can you give to God? Because the earth is the Lord and all its fullness thereof, the world and those that live therein. God owns everything. So, Paul, is there something you can give to God that's really going to bring joy to Him? Is there something that you can, as a human being, can give to God that will make God happy? Well, let's pretend that this is the present that Paul is going to give to Christ. What is it, I wonder? I wonder if it's a sleeve of Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. That might be a good present for the pastor, but I don't think God is interested. Pro V1, Titleist Pro V, just mentioning that. God isn't interested in pro. It's not chocolate candy. God has no interest in that. It's not a gift card. So, Paul, let's dig in here and see what Paul might be given to God. Oh, there's names. Tychicus. Onesimus. Aristarchus. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Jesus, who is called Justice. Timothy. Epaphras. Jason. Julia. Olympus. Mary. Phoebe. Titus. And Archippus. You know, there might be more, but these are names of people we know from Paul's letters that he worked with, that he served with, and he helped disciple. And I think what Paul is saying is, I am working with them. I am praying for them and striving and working to present them. I want to stand before God one day, and I want to say, God, here, I want to give you something. And you know what? Here's the cool thing. Every one of us can do the same thing in our life. God doesn't need anything. God owns everything. But if we are committed to help make disciples of Jesus Christ who follow Him well, that what we're doing is we are taking those people and we are saying, God, here, I want to give you something. It's a present to present them fully mature in Christ. And I think that's what God wants more than anything else, because God cares about people. God doesn't want people to be lonely. God doesn't want people to be isolated. God doesn't want people to be living in sin. God wants everybody to know the joy of being rightly related to Him and growing and serving and loving Him. And therefore, the best thing we can ever do for them is also something that we can do for God as well. And that is to work with them to make disciples. Now, that is the vertical aspect. It is presenting people to God. There's also a horizontal aspect, and that is we are helping people mature as believers in Christ. They start out over here and they're not even a believer in Christ, and we help them by praying and loving and sharing with them and talking about the truth, and then they come to the point of becoming a believer. And as a believer, we start teaching and training them how to live as a believer, and then how again to turn around and reproduce the process. There's a horizontal aspect and a vertical aspect. So how is Christ central to disciple making? Well, first of all, our task in disciple making is to proclaim Christ. And secondly, our goal is to present disciples who are mature in Christ. So we're presenting Christ. We're wanting to make disciples that are mature in Christ. But how in the world can we do it? Because it's hard. Disciple making is hard. Well, that Leads us to the third point. The power we need to make disciples comes from Christ in us. Verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. In the original language, it leads to this end I labor. And the word labor refers to hard work. It's the word that the disciples used in Luke chapter 5 when Simon, they'd been fishing all night long. And Simon said to Jesus, "Master, we've worked all night long and haven't caught anything." It's also used in 2 Timothy 2:6. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now, I think about hard work. I think about farmers. I think about professional fishermen in the first century. They worked hard. To this end, I labor. And then Paul adds a participle to that verb that tells us how he labors. And that word is struggling. And the word means to struggle or to fight or to do your best, to compete. It's a word that's used in athletics. And it actually can become stronger than the word work. And so the NIV puts these two together and translates that phrase together. To this end, I strenuously contend. I want you to think about an athlete. I want you to think about a runner who is running a race, and as they get close to the finish line, they reach and they strain and they agonize. It's one of those Greek words that carries over, agonizomai, where agony, where even in English language you can get the picture of a runner who is straining like these runners here. You see, they are straining. This is what disciple making involves. For Paul, it was like, not easy. Not casual. Sometimes we think, oh, well, Paul was an apostle, therefore it was easy for him. No, it was not easy for him. He agonized. He strained to get across that finish line. Watch these next two slides for a graphic portrayal of what it might look in a race. This is an actual race. Look, see that runner down at the bottom who not only is standing up, but she wants to win so badly that she is stretching out and diving across the finish line. And one more. There she is. I think she wanted to win. I think she wanted to win. She was straining. There's a prize out there in the race, but it doesn't come without a price. And there's a prize for us. Here's the exciting news. Here's the good news, Harvest. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a prize out there for you. You're going to be able to have a present that when you stand before God, you're going to be able to say, God, here's what I want to give you. It's the efforts that I have made under your power to try to help people follow you. That's what Paul was doing. And he says, to this end, I strenuously contend. But he understood, let's not mistake that Paul thought, my efforts are going to accomplish it. My hard work is going to get it done. I didn't contend, he says, with my energy. But back to the verse, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I can guarantee you that if you try to make disciples in your own strength and energy, you're just going to be frustrated. Because you aren't going to be able to do it. I can't do it. Paul couldn't do it. Here's a great balance between human effort and trusting in God. We put forth the human effort, but we are always trusting God with His power and His energy to yield the fruit. Are you wondering how unbelievers in your life can be converted? Take heart, God is in you. Are you wondering how you might be able to be used to help somebody follow Christ? Take heart, God is in you. Paul was a veteran warrior for Christ. But if he were standing here today, he wouldn't say, well, do it just like me but with all my experience. He'd say, take heart, God is in you. In the hard work of making disciples. Christ is everything. Christ is everything. Now, I want us to think through this passage and how it links with one of the most important passages about disciple making, the Great Commission. We looked at both of these passages this week in the study guides. Here we go, what we looked at today. The task is to proclaim Him. The goal is so everyone would be mature in Christ. And the power is I strenuously contend. Well, think about the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 28. And look what He said in the beginning. Here's your task. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. The task is to proclaim Him because it's all about Him. The goal? What is the goal? Well, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Paul followed along and said, I want to present everyone mature in Christ. That's what Jesus told His disciples to do. And where is the power? Well, Paul saw it. I'm contending with all the power that Christ works in me. And Jesus said to the original disciples, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Based on the Great Commission there, I hope you can see why we define disciple making as the process by which followers of Jesus obey His command to develop others into mature followers of Christ, from lost to saved to obedient disciples. Now, I want to make just a few quick qualifications and then just talk about a couple practical ways that we can do disciple making. So qualification number one is we cannot focus on unbelievers or believers only. Disciple making includes both what we would normally call evangelism, that's working with unbelievers, and discipleship, or working with believers. All of it together is disciple making. It's getting people from over here to over there. Evangelism is the beginning of disciple making. There is no biblical disciple making without evangelism. Think about this. When Jesus stood before those original 11 followers at the end of Matthew, and He was leaving His last words for him, and He said, I want you to go make disciples of all nations. How many Christians were existing in the world at that time? Think about it. The answer is almost none. Nobody was a follower of Jesus yet. I mean, they had started to follow Him, and there were a few others that were following along and listening and in the process of learning, but the whole world was out there full of people that didn't know God. So Jesus wasn't saying, I want you to go make disciples by going finding some Christians and teaching them how to read the Bible better. I'm all about studying the Bible, and it's very important, and it's part of it. But discipleship, we shouldn't think of disciple making as, oh, I'm only going to work with Christians to help them do this better or do that better or do the other. It's all about Christ. It's about knowing Christ, and it's about developing mature followers of Christ. But it starts with those who don't know Christ at all. Second qualification. Well, let me say, it's not, on the other hand, some groups and organizations seemingly only work with people until they become a Christian and then they move on to the next one. And we can't do that, or we're not faithful to make disciples. It's not just, it doesn't say go make converts. It says make disciples. Secondly, disciple making is not a program. It's not a church activity. It's not sign up for this, these 6 weeks and do this and then, okay, you're a disciple. It's life on life. We looked at a verse in our prayer time earlier. Paul talked to the Thessalonians when he told them, he said, I shared with you not only the gospel, but my life with you. And whether it's an unbeliever you're working with or a believer that you're working with, the best thing to do is to be in their life and to spend time with them and spend time together. And then you find out what they need to help develop into the next level of maturity. And it's different for different people at different stages. So disciple making is not a program. Thirdly, disciple making is not only for mature Christians, but it's for all Christians. This Great Commission, Matthew 28:16 was given to the 11, but verse 20, as it continues, creates a never-ending cycle when he told them to teach those first disciples to obey everything he told them. And then those people would go out and teach everything to obey everything, and they're to obey everything, and it creates a never-ending cycle. In other words, evangelizing and discipling others is a part of our own discipleship. In a book, The Trellis and the Vine, the authors Colin Marshall and Tony Payne say, to be a disciple is to be a disciple maker. And the verse, one of the verses that was read to us in Ephesians 4:16, how does it happen? It happens as each part does its work. Every part. So, for instance, this isn't in my notes, but I just thought of a conversation that I had with my wife this week. Many of you know my wife works with a group of internationals on Friday, and several ladies here are partnering with this in English as a second language. We have women from a bunch of different countries that come on Fridays and learn English, but the ultimate goal is to introduce them to Christ and disciple them. One of the ladies who used to live nearby moved downtown and has no way of getting here, but it was great that another lady lived downtown, and was able to start driving her and bringing her here. But they found out Friday that the lady who was the driver is moving somewhere to Florida or something. And so now the other lady has no way of getting here. And Tish looked at me and she said, I wish there would be somebody who could help. And, you know, somebody might think, I'm not sure about teaching the Bible. I'm not sure about this. But, you know, a way to disciple, if somebody on Fridays would be able to drive this lady to an environment where she could be discipled, that would be part of disciple making, right? Every part does its work. We all work in different ways. She's in the nursery today, but she might appreciate that plug. So talk to Tish or me if you're interested in doing that. Number four, worship and prayer are not separate from disciple making, but closely linked. Disciple making is a key part of worship. Because people that don't know God can't worship Him. And so we help people come to know Christ. And we present them to Christ. It's part of our own worship, but it also helps them worship. Prayer, Paul said he wrestled in prayer for people. In fact, he talked about one of his co-laborers in Colossians at 4:12 named Epaphras. He's one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus. He sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's one of the ways to disciple people, is just to pray for them, not just a general, oh, Lord, bless so-and-so, but pray that they will grow in Christ and be mature in Christ. Next week, we're going to move to the next pillar of Harvest, biblical community, and we'll see how it is linked with all this. In fact, all these six pillars are linked in our one vision, and we'll get to that next time. Let me ask you this question. This is maybe the most important question today, and that is this. Will you be intentional in making disciples? Will you be intentional? Intentionality is the key. No matter who you're working with, at what stage, it's making an intentional effort to disciple them. Now, there are a lot of ways we can proclaim Christ. We can do it by our lifestyle, which is important. We can do it by our testimony. We do it all the time. Hey, so-and-so, my broker gave me a tip, and I bought this stock, and it's already gone up $2. Maybe you want to check it out. Or, hey, I saw this movie, and it was really good. You ought to go see it. We give testimonies. So we could also say, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but Jesus Christ has changed my life, and He's really made a difference in me. Sometime I'd love to share that with you if you'd be interested. Another way is exploratory questions, like, what brings you fulfillment in life? As you're getting to know somebody, that's a great question. I had a guy that I was playing golf with, and he had some heart issues, some health issues, and he was out for a while. And So we're playing golf, we're riding in the golf cart, and I just ask him, hey, has this scare, has it changed your perspective on life anyway? It's just an exploratory question. I had a relationship with him, it wasn't offensive anyway, it was just, I wanted to explore, I wanted to see where he would go with it, and it led into a good conversation. I think that's a good one. And then there's invitation. And that could be an invitation to church, but it might be an invitation to coffee or to play tennis or golf or men's fellowship or ladies' coffee or students as you're gathering in some of your events. It could be an invitation to anything. A few tips on how to help others mature in Christ. Struggle in prayer. We've already talked about that. Intentional spiritual training. That's the process that we use. Teaming up with others for both evangelism and discipleship. God, none of us are able to fully disciple a person, so God puts us in a body and we do it together. And then learning from and with others. One of the people in this congregation who's very involved, has been very involved in being discipled and in discipling others, Katie Clark, is teaming up with our leaders and helping us talk through and think through disciple making. And we're going to, some point in the next few weeks, we're just gonna open up a night for anybody and everybody that is actually trying to help disciple somebody at any level, and we're just gonna have a kind of an open forum or something, and just let people come in and share and talk to each other and say, hey, what do you do about this? Or this happened and this was helpful, and just kind of listen. So I think that's valuable. Well, we've been talking about runners, and let me close with a reminder of a true thing that happened in the 2004 Summer Olympic Games. The American women's relay team, 4x100, was favored. They had Marion Jones, who had already won like 4 gold medals at the previous games in Sydney. These were the games in Athens, Greece. So they were favored to win. They come in and they're running, and you know they got to pass the baton. There's 4 runners, so she was running. Marion Jones ran a strong second leg of the race. She came to the next runner, Lauren Williams, and she was going to pass the baton to her. And you know how there's a 20, it's either 20 yards or 20 meters, that area that they have that they can run together, pass the baton, and then that's as far as you can go with it. They tried once and she missed. They tried second time and she missed. Tried the third time and she missed. Finally, on the 4th effort to pass the baton, Lauren Jones got the baton. But the problem was she was already past that mark, and the Americans were disqualified from the race. They were fast, but the baton didn't get passed, and therefore they were disqualified. Brian Wilkerson, commenting on that event, says this: as important as it is for the previous generation to set the pace by living authentically, at some point a handoff must be made in which the next generation receives the baton of faith and begins to run with it. That handoff isn't as easy as it looks. It isn't automatic. It is the result of thousands and thousands of practice runs. And when I think about disciple making, that's the image that's in my mind. We are running our race for the Lord, but we want to pass the baton to somebody else who is going to run their race. And together we're running that race. I hope that you, Harvest, will be involved with this. You see, we can talk all day long about Harvest, our pillars worship. We can set it up for corporate worship, and we can teach and train people to worship 7 days a week. But ultimately, whether we're a house of worship is going to depend on all of you if you are worshiping God. And disciple making, we can say disciple making is important to us, but it ultimately, humanly, is going to depend on you being a disciple maker. In the hard work of making disciples, Christ is everything. Well, here's what we want to do. Here's how we're going to close this morning. I want the ushers to be prepared to hand a card out to you. I want you to take 3 or 4 minutes, and probably take 2 or 3 minutes to do this. We're serious at Harvest about wanting to make disciples and help you make disciples. This card is going to help. Go ahead, guys, and pass those out. Everybody take one, if you will. I'd like you to just take a couple minutes to fill it out. And basically, it just allows you to tell us where you are in the disciple-making process. It allows you to say, hey, here's where I am. Here, I am discipling these people in this way. Or it allows you to say, you know, I would like to disciple people, but I need help making that connection. Or you can say, I would like somebody to disciple me. So if you'll just take that card and fill it out, we'll collect those in a minute. This will be very, very valuable. We're not going to, connect you with somebody apart from your knowledge. But all of these cards that come in, we're going to look at them, and we're going to pray over them, and we're going to pray over you. And we're going to come back to you with some suggestions, perhaps, of some opportunities, especially for those of you that indicate, yeah, I would like to be discipling someone, or I would like somebody to disciple me. We'll give you, and obviously it'll be your choices and the things that you plug in with. But if you'll just take one of those and fill that out, this will be great. This will be very, very helpful in our efforts to make disciples. Take a couple minutes to do that, please. All right, let's go ahead and pass those in to the aisles then. Ushers, if you'll take them and bring them to me, because I'm going to pray over these cards now without individually, but as a whole group. You'll just pass them to an aisle near you. You guys will bring them up, please, to me after you get them. And let's bow our heads together for prayer. This is the beginning. It's not the first time. I don't mean beginning like that. But this is a beginning of a process. We're not going to stop talking about disciple making today, because this is our vision. This is what God wants us to do. This is going to help us know what's already happening right now. But some of you, I want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if you're not sure what to do next or who God wants you to work with, ask Him. As we bow our heads, just ask Him now. Ask Him now, Lord, will You show me how I can be a disciple maker? Will You show me who You can use me in their life? It might be somebody really nearby, like a little one that lives in your home. It might be a neighbor, a co-worker. And if you're already working with people to disciple them, use this time to pray for them as well. We proclaim Him. So if you're here this morning, I hope you hear our heart. We're not talking about any kind of program, church program. We're just talking about people that Jesus has loved, trying to help other people love Jesus. And I hope that you, if you've never met Jesus Christ personally, in a personal relationship with Him, that your prayer now, you'll be saying, God, Jesus, I want to know about You. I want to know who You are. I want to live with You and for You. Lord God, in my hand are cards representing hundreds of people and contacts. Every one of them is valuable to You. Thank You for what You sacrificed to come to this earth so we could be Your followers. And I pray if there's anyone here who's not yet a follower of You, that they'll see how much You love them today. And for all of us, Lord, who have begun that journey of following You, I pray that You will make us disciple makers. Help us to have a present to give You when we stand before You one day. Help these people, Lord, that are working with others. And help those that need and want to be connected or need and want to be discipled themselves. Lord, we pray these things for the glory of Jesus, to honor Him, to honor You. and in your name. And all God's people said, amen.